Maybe. Yes, sir!
Michiana's sports leader, 96.1 FM, WSBT, presents...
Johnny, that's better than most.
How about him?
That is better than most. Better than most!
The Golf Show.
I'm a big believer in fate. I have a good feeling about this. That's all I'm going to tell you.
We welcome you to another edition of The Golf Show on Michiana Sports Leader, 96.1 FM, WSBT. Good morning. My name is Darren Pritchett, and I'm joined by my favorite co-hosts. Of course, the weekday Sports Beat co-hosts never hear this show, so I'm okay for saying that.
Do you have a show during the week? I wasn't aware of that.
Well, I know he doesn't have a co-host when he does the hockey games or the baseball
No,
games.
He yeah. doesn't. So
yeah, we have that. The mouse pads and everything for the show. It's fantastic. We're ready
funny.
To roll.
That's funny.
Those people giggling and the funny guys, we've got John Foster, the general manager at Notre Dame's Warren, and Tim Firestone, the owner of Blackthorn Golf Club. Are we going to make it through this segment?
I don't know.
You may not. We're going to be just fine.
I'll just keep it.
So he's got a co-host, but you don't.
Yes. Exactly okay. right. I've never heard that I'm your favorite host either, so I'm a little disappointed about that. But maybe sometime I'll earn my stripes after all these years.
We all need goals, Darren. Yeah.
Did Foster take, like, funny lessons? He's
no.
more funny this year than last year, Tim. I know.
I think it has to do with the onset of senility that makes one even funnier. So.
Could you look up senility real quick?
Is that a word?
Tim and I looked at each other like, what's he talking about?
I'm sorry, guys. I forgot who I was with. I'll try to dumb it down a little bit, and I'll speak more slowly as well.
Well, this is the start of a busy sports day. We have the South Bend Cubs tonight at 7:05. You guys should stop by sometime and do a half inning.
If it stops raining, I'd love to come out. I mean,
you wouldn't put us on the air.
Oh, absolutely. It'd be a great half inning.
Really? Can I tell some old baseball stories that I experienced?
Some of those?
Some of them. My Larry Bird stories when we were on the same team.
Can you share that story here?
No.
Well, no, then you can't share it on the South Bend Cubs.
I have a Larry Bird golf story, but it's way too long, and it goes back to high school, too.
Well, we are on cable sometimes with South Bend Cubs baseball, but not on that type of cable in order
channels.
To... Yes, okay. that would be in another
I often area. Wondered whatever happened to that guy after high school. Larry Bird? Yeah.
I don't know.
Poor
he
guy.
He just lost his job.
He's looking for work.
I think he gladly gave his job up.
Yeah.
Well, he kind of traded Kawhi Leonard, who has turned out to be one of the best players in the NBA. And
Yeah, I know.
And now he's got Paul George, who doesn't stop crying.
Mm-hmm. And will not be a Pacer for very long.
Probably not.
What's sad is they were ready to go when that big fight happened with the Pistons. They were ready to be a dominant team, and that just sidetracked them. So there was some bad luck along the way. Is Larry a good golfer?
He's not bad. I mean, he hits it a country mile, and he plays. I mean, I don't know anymore, but he used to play a lot when he played with Boston. I mean, a lot of pro-ams and stuff. And then in the summertime, he would come back to French Lick, and as you know, they got a fantastic Donald Ross course down there, and that's where we played our conference matches and things in high school. And that's where I played against Larry. So,
over in Fort Wayne at their ballpark, walking into my media area, they have a picture of that golf course, and there's one bunker that looks like if you get down in it to the left of the green, you're like 25 feet below the green.
It's a really cool golf. Have you played it, Tim?
No.
They refer to it as the hill course, but now
is that
they
where the
say
senior PGA was one.
No,
year?
That's one. Okay. The one that Dye built up on top of the hill there, and this was a Donald Ross. It goes back to the 30s. And they've spent a lot of money over the last few years after Pete did that one course to restore this. And it's phenomenal layout. It's a very difficult golf course, but it's a typical Ross design with the turtleback greens. And there's one par five that is 620 yards long. And that's not something recent. That originally was the design of it. So anyway, if you're ever down in the French Lick area, it's worth the stop. It's a great golf course, and I wouldn't bother going up the hill because I think it's $350 to play the Dye course.
Yeah, they don't do very many rounds.
They do not.
There's a casino there, a resort. I think they use it for a lot of their guests for the casino and the resort. So
yeah.
I would just probably go ahead, pay the extra couple $100 in the flight to go to Pebble Beach then. Seriously.
Yeah. Yeah,
I mean, there's only some golf courses I would pay that much for. You know, you got St. Andrews, Pebble Beach, but...
Yeah, that ain't one of them.
It's not. I mean, if you had a conversation with a golfer from Florida or California, mm-hmm. they would never have heard of that golf course, right. So then it shouldn't be asking $350 per round.
I know the pros weren't real fond of it when they played down there. They felt it was just so penal that, and they played
Monty won, though, right?
Yeah, he did. He won there.
Seems
and then
to be
they,
a common theme of the senior PGA.
And this year they're doing the senior LPGA championship
is it,
there.
Are they really?
Yeah, which is
good luck. Shocked.
Yeah.
They may never finish.
It's going to be a tough
course.
Yeah. I mean, they're all hard for us, Darren.
Well, that's very valid.
Yeah.
It's a very valid point. But sometimes it's nice to be challenged once in a while, just to kind of see where you are.
Yeah, I know where I am.
And I know where I am, too.
I don't need any reminding of that.
So has there been any work between you and Mr. Fires?
No,
I
mean,
swing? Still nothing?
Well, I haven't seen it this year, but there's a pretty good reason. I mean, the weather is, I won't give a lesson if it's under 60 degrees, and Tim won't take a lesson unless it's under or over 60. Yeah. And it's got to be 80 for him to come out, so yeah, it ain't happened yet. It will. Happened.
And the beverages have to be below 30 degrees.
Yeah, good point. We need that temperature differential between what you're drinking and what the ambient temperature is, and we've not reached that yet.
You know, the tough part playing high school golf in Illinois, we worked all summer to get better, and then our season was in the fall.
Same so here.
Yeah, so it's. I always thought it was kind of unfortunate. I guess there's no great way to do it, but when you work all year, you get into October, yeah. and usually right around my birthday was regionals and sectionals, and you had to wear gloves.
Yeah.
And you had to wear a stocking cap. And it just kind of felt like, you have so much to deal with. You know, you're not focusing just on golf. You got to pick up the gloves. You got to pick up this.
Yeah, but Darren, think about this. I mean, it's a spring sport here. And the same, you were saying it's a spring sport. Oh, yeah.
It's fall in Illinois.
It's fall. I'd much rather be that because at least you get a few rounds in where it's warm. These kids this spring, I mean, they played 7 to 8 matches and the sectionals are coming up. And you know what the weather's been like around here. And they have they come into that from the winter. So I'm not so sure. I know what you're saying, that you hit a period in the fall when it does get a little dicey. But there's probably a chance that these kids will not play a match with the temp over 70 degrees throughout mm-hmm. the whole season. So,
but at the very least, I could go to a facility that has indoor capabilities and I can swing the club.
Yeah, that's
in
true.
In comfort. So
yeah.
That would be awfully nice. When is the state tournament in Indiana? May?
It's
June. June. First week of June is the sectionals.
Yeah, I guess you're right. It does go into June.
I'll take credit conditions in April and May to be playing in the best weather for the most important championships.
If you make sectionals. Like, or maybe make regionals. Right?
We had regionals first, then sectionals.
What?
Really? Yeah, in Illinois. We go regionals, sectionals, and then to the state finals.
Okay.
And in my high school career, in 4 years, our golf team went in match play or dual meets 129-1.
My goodness.
We lost to a double A.
I know who the one
school.
Was.
What's that?
You.
No. No, my golf team was so competitive, I would shoot as a junior 83, 84, would not make the top six.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah, that's pretty strong.
That is.
So finally, my senior year, I was a full time travel person and shot 82, 83, something like that.
Okay.
State finals, it was a little tougher.
Speaking of that, I want to shout out to...
I'll take my 87 and run the second day.
A couple of my students. Michael Anthony won the Kepler, which is a famous, I guess, in the high school sports. It's a tournament at Morris Park that brings together all the local schools. And Michael was medalist at 73, I think. And Chris Triple, who's another student of mine, shot 79 and was in second. So...
About
my
that.
Boys dominated the Kepler this year.
Congratulations.
Well, congratulations to them.
It must have been on prom night because I saw a picture on Twitter with him in the tux with his mom.
Yeah, because you know he lives right off the course. Mm-hmm. And so he went home, put his tux on, and came back for the presentation. And he had it. Yeah. So he wasn't trying to big time anymore. He was just. Yeah.
Yeah,
it's a big occasion.
Could you imagine? Yeah. Can you imagine if Colin Montgomery would have been in second place? Can you imagine what he would have said to him?
Yeah, good point. Oh. He beat the field by 6 shots.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, he's a really good player.
Very impressive.
Yeah.
Well, you would appreciate the fact with our golf team, my senior year, we went to the state finals at Illinois State's golf course. I don't know if you've been there. I think D.A. Weibring associated with that golf course.
Right.
And, you know, we didn't play our best golf, but the good news is we had good friends. They were a long way from us. It was Monmouth High School. I mean, you had to shoot 74 to make the top six. They won state every year. Wow. It wasn't even close, but we kicked their tail in cards. So if you're going to get your butt beat on the golf course, at least you want to win on the 19th hole, right?
Absolutely.
Oh, and we did, too. We were really good at that. So, right. You had some company at Notre Dame's Warren this week.
Did.
John Bilcour stopped by. What's his focus right now with the U.S. Senior Open a couple of years away?
Well, we retained him and Crenshaw last year to oversee and to direct some of the improvements and modifications we're going to do for the Senior Open. And bear in mind, these aren't things that were necessarily dictated to us by the USGA, but it was recommended that we look at some of these, and it was an opportunity for us to do certain things in the golf course that will benefit us into the future, as well as make it more playable and more of a challenge for the senior players. So Bill has gave us a number of projects he wanted to look at in terms of, you know, fairway modifications, bringing the bunkers closer to the fairway, which you don't really, that's a way of putting that you're going to make the fairways closer to the bunker, basically. So over time and the grow-in had gotten him so far away from the fairway that it wasn't a true core Crenshaw design. It used to drive him and Ben crazy when they would come here and say, you got to do something about this. Well, we now have the resources to do it, thanks to the benefaction of Bill Warren. And Core was absolutely thrilled with the stuff that we've done so far. It's a large amount of work that we've completed. The next step, and my superintendent and I spent the whole day out with him, flagging out the new bunkers that are going to go in, you know, as well as some more fairway modifications, straightening edges, you almost say cosmetic, but they do come into play. And some people might not even notice some of the stuff, but he's been so supportive, and coincidentally, him and Crenshaw were on their way to Sand Valley up in Wisconsin, which had their grand opening on Tuesday, to a 24-degree wind chill. Talked to Bill on Wednesday, I guess it was. Yeah, it's just horrible. But anyway, so they just completed their course there. They're building a par 3 course at Sand Valley, similar to the one they did at Bandon. And then David McClay Kidd is starting the second course at Sand Valley. He's actually 3 to 4 holes in already. So Mike Kaiser's trying to replicate what he did at Bandon. And this place is like an hour and a half north of Madison in Wisconsin. So it's way up there. But Dunelands and cactus. Hmm. They have cactus on the property. I have no clue. But so anyway, back to Bill. We have some more projects. He called it his wish list, but we're going to do these things throughout the next year or two. And so anyway, it's great to have his support. And then Ben's coming, I think, in July to kind of throw his 2 cents in on what he would like to see as well. So it's been a great collaboration, and we're really looking forward to, implementing these things. So, yeah.
In terms of trees, is there going to be any taken down? Are there any recommendations? Or I guess when the USGA comes in, they can kind of do what they want?
Well, no, they can't. I mean, no? If it's the U.S. Open, it's a totally different thing. The Senior Open, don't get me wrong, they take it very seriously, but they understand the limitations most golf courses have as far as financial resources, because I think the typical take for a golf course, if you host the U.S. Open, is in the neighborhood of $12 to $15 million. Unfortunately, that's not quite what we're planning on doing with the Senior Open. But if you're going to make that kind of money, I think you're a little more willing to do some modification. In our case, there will be some select tree removal, but most of these trees are not healthy, and it has to do with where we're going to stage hospitality areas, more so than from a playability standpoint. One thing we are going to do, if you think about it, guys, and I know Tim has the same situation. You know, we've been open for 17 years now, and the encroachment of trees onto the playability of the course, some of the sight lines as well as the play lines, is just amazing. How it's like a little bit like
the USGA commercial. Remember that when the grandfather was with his grandson. I was your age, son. I used to hit it right up over that tree.
That's exactly right. That's it. And we don't notice it necessarily because we're there every day. But when you get a fresh set of eyes, like Core, he's saying, you realize, you know, on number nine, for instance, the whole left side on that par three, mm-hmm. you can't hit a cut into that green now because the trees have encroached. So there's a substantial amount of pruning that's going to go on, more so than removal from a playability standpoint.
Oh, yeah, that's the hole I hit the road three straight times on, straight times playing, yeah.
So you can cut it. I guess if you hit the road and it bounces to the right, that technically that's a cut.
Actually, if you pull hook at enough of your spots.
Yeah, good point. So, anyway.
Okay, so let me ask this question.
Sure.
John, I'll ask you the question, then I'm going to have Tim analyze what you're going to say.
All right.
So, out of the 18 holes at Notre Dame's Warren, once the USGA gets everything done that they want to get done to the golf course, what hole will have the biggest change that people will notice the first time they get to play it? So, you describe the hole, and then, Tim, you tell me how you think it's going to change the hole and significance.
Okay, I tell you what hole it is and describe it? It's got to be 18. And the 18th hole is the one that we lost in the great flood of 2016 in August, and we completely rebuilt the hole. Now, the difference is it's a much firmer fairway now because of the amount of sand we were able to put down. We put a mile of drainage, internal drainage, underneath that hole, which never really had it. We widened the canal to the left that used to be, unfortunately, it was wrongly named an environmentally sensitive area. It isn't. So now it's going to be a lateral hazard to the left side.
Well, in 2019, everything is lateral anyway. There's no more such thing as that hazard with the new rules.
Oh, that's right. You're absolutely right. So, and then there's a bunker under the big cottonwood tree as you... You know, where the mound was, it's now a bunker off the tee. So, I mean, that's a substantial change.
So, if you get
change.
That bunker, you have to hit kind of a punch.
Actually, Tim, it's set up to the side to the point where you'll have a clear shot to the green. Okay. And my opinion, and I know Crenshaw felt the same way and Bill did, it's fairer now because remember, we had all that tall grass that you could hit a ball middle of the fairway, it would run through, and you could lose it. In the side of that, or you'd have a buried lie and a bunch of fescue. Yeah. Now it's a bunker. I know people say, well, that's not a good thing. But as you know, Tim, you can at least advance the ball out of a bunker. So
most of the time.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, you know, that was a major, you know what? It was an act of God that we took advantage of because that hole needed to be drained better. It needed, you know, more, a firmer fairway and some other things that we were able to do as a result. The fact that it was ruined by the flood.
One of the hardest driving holes in South Bend.
Yes,
it really is.
Visually intimidating.
Yep. Well, it's even more intimidating now because on the left side across the creek, on that left corner there, we've raised that fairway up and peeled the fairway, rolled it over the edge facing the tee. So when you stand on the tee now and we've cleaned the area up, you couldn't see the water. Mm. You knew it was over there. You weren't. Now you can see that plus the canal on the left side, it gives you more of a reason to hit it out to the right and end up in the bunker. So visually it'll change too. So.
All right, Brandel Chambly, what do you think?
What am I thinking? What's the question again?
Oh, just what do you think about the changes?
No, it sounds good. I mean, I think, you know, that's...
Is it a tougher hole? Is it simpler?
I'd have to see it. I mean, it's a pretty darn tough hole to begin with.
But, yes, it is.
To John's point, I mean, if it's... I mean, everybody bails right on the hole. I mean, that's really how the hole's designed.
If we ever lose the cottonwood tree, that hole's going to lose a lot of its teeth.
That's right.
Yeah.
But, I mean, to hit a good drive there, if you hit a good drive there, you can get in a really good position. You got a chance to make a birdie, but... it's a hard hole to drive.
Now that Tim owns a golf course, the part of that he'll appreciate is that hole was our worst hole when it came to moisture. You know, the other holes could be pretty well dry, but any type of rain event, you know, it was cart path only. Yeah. And as Tim knows, that can impact your playability and enjoyability of the golf course. So that it's from an operational standpoint, it solves some issues too.
Okay, so let's ask a hypothetical.
All right.
Tim, you can play or pass the question. This is like $100,000 pyramid.
Minus any money, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Let's just pretend. Hypothetically speaking, you have a flooded Blackthorn, and if one hole could get flooded that you could have the redo, like John just talked about, what hole would it be? And do you know how you would change it?
Boy, well, that's a...
Play or pass?
No, I'll play. Okay. I clearly have favorite holes and holes. I mean, first of all, I'd say our 18th hole is the same thing with John. Down that valley on your third shot on 18 is a mess. We've put drainage in. We've done, or it's on a top dressing program now. Mm-hmm. We're doing everything we can, but it's still a great moisture. Hole, yeah,
love that hole. It's the low point of the golf course, isn't it?
It pretty much is. Yeah. Yep.
I just like the contour of the green for the shot.
Oh no, I mean it's a fantastic
ball. When the flag's down left, yeah, and you can hit it to the right and it rolls down, it just has that. It kind of has that Masters feel that you watch on TV.
No, it's a great hole, but if you look at the topography, everything drains down to that landing area, mm-hmm, in front of the green. Everything rolls down there, and I know exactly what Tim's talking about.
Yeah. Yeah. I think the hole that if there was a redesign of a hole would be number 5. Just not a good golf hole for a couple reasons. Number one.
Which I know one reason.
The big tree in the middle is one thing, which is fine, yeah, but there's not enough fairway around that tree. You can hit a shot right down the middle of the left side of that tree, which is the way most people go.
Right.
And you're in the rough. And the reason we can't make that fairway, yeah, is the irrigation, the way that is there, that we would never be able to get it irrigated enough to grow the bent grass. So in my opinion, I would have loved to seen them take that green and put it behind. If you go back behind that green, there's a there's not really water, mm-hmm, in it, but it's a ditch.
Mm-hmm.
And they put the green all the way back by the 6th tee box.
Right.
Yeah.
Make it a par 5.
Make a par 5, and then turn number 7 into a par 4. So.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Because we built another tee box on 5, mm-hmm, that we took our regular everyday men's tee and moved it forward on that hole.
Yeah.
Because it was just too hard. People are hitting driver 3-wood underneath a tree to a green that's the size of a postage stamp with bunkers all around it. I mean, it was just
not. I don't disagree. I know. And that hole traditionally is the one you have roped off after rain events. I don't know if that's changed.
It's changed a lot.
Okay.
You put new irrigation in there on 6 and 5, and it's really helped out a lot. But it was always wet.
You get the canopy of that tree is so large, like Tim said, you can't grow anything but bluegrass underneath it. Mm-hmm. And I think if you had bent all the way around that, it's a totally, mm-hmm, different hole.
Yep. And if it's a par 5 and you hit it, you got to hit the layup anyway, who cares?
Yep.
But for the average golfer to be hitting a 3-wood into that green, it's a good green, too. I like the slope of the green. But it's not receptive to a 3-wood.
Well, now that you own it, Tim, you can pretty well do what you want. So
yeah, but then I got to think about what's it going to cost me to move that hole, and am I ever going to get my money back?
Let's get creative here.
Okay,
since we're in the sports business,
yeah,
why don't we have a title sponsor for the hole, like so and so Stadium? It could be ABC Hardware's 7th hole.
Uh huh. That's a good idea.
Well. I mean, he's making so much money anyway. I could think he would just go out of his operating cash and build a new hole. It's that simple.
Oh, gosh. Got a lot of mouths to feed, John.
I can see the big banner next to the trees. ABC Hardware brings you this 7th hole.
Believe me, if Tim thought it would work, he would do it.
That's right.
And you know what? The tree doesn't bother me anymore. I think it's just part of what the golf course is. I aim at it, and you never hit it. You know, I have never hit it. I'm not kidding you. I've never hit
it.
For whatever reason. Yeah. It's just, you just kind of aim at it because I'm not good enough to hit it straight, you know?
Push it or pull it, and you're fine.
That's right. When I aim for the pin, it doesn't do me any good. So just aim one way or the other, and eventually maybe the ball will get there. So,
well, this has been a great show.
It has. I mean, it's,
we have done nothing on the script so far.
Yeah, it's perfect.
And people are like listening and saying, "When's this thing gonna get going? What's this got to do about golf?"
Well, let me point this out. We're halfway through the show already.
Are we? We've been taping. Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I just hit record before the show, and if anything good happens, I edit it in. Like,
there you go.
The story you were telling earlier, that will be in the show, actually,
okay,
a little later on.
Gotcha.
You just don't know it yet.
Let's certainly hope not.
All right, can I sneak in one more topic?
Sure.
Gosh, this segment. We're going to set the record, by the way. We're 23 minutes in.
Excellent.
So let's just blow away the record. So a couple of weeks ago, before the golf show started, Lexi Thompson Major Championship got dinged for improperly marking her golf ball in a major that cost her the championship. So as you've watched the video and you've watched all the commentary, just any thoughts on, do you think she was actually trying to cheat on a short putt by moving the ball forward, or was it just her making an honest mistake that I assume happens more than we probably understand in a golf tournament?
The rules have nothing to do with intent. It's what the action is. So regardless of whether it was intentional or non-intentional, she did violate the rule. Now, we can argue all day long as to the way that was detected and reported, which I think was wrong, and I think they've taken steps to address that. And Tim, I know you have some feelings about it.
Yeah, I think, well, number one, it was a major championship. It's not like it was just a regular stop on tour. She's a popular American player.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that there was an automatic feeling of support for her in that way. I think that, to John's point, it's right. It's not intent is not how the rules of golf work. Mm-hmm. The ability, though, and golf being, and my, you guys correct me if I'm wrong, but golf literally being the only sport that a viewer can call in and make an outcome on the thing. You can't call the NFL and say that guy did this. It's just, it's crazy. So I think that rule has changed, and they made that change. The big issue I have with the rules of golf and what happened here is not the two-shot penalty. And I don't think she would have had as much of an issue, obviously, with the two-shot penalty. Right. Hey, you did this. Well, I didn't mean to do it, but you did it. Okay, it's a penalty. It's a game of integrity. Okay, I'll take the penalty. But to give her another two-shot penalty for signing the incorrect scorecard, in my mind, is a part that's just
I couldn't agree more. I mean, she didn't know it was an incorrect scorecard.
Yeah.
Again, I know that was its intent doesn't come into it, but when she signed her scorecard, it was correct. A penalty had not been imposed on her at that point. The penalty was imposed the next day.
Right.
And so, in my opinion, she signed a correct scorecard. Now, that has been addressed in the recommended rule change for the RNA and the USGA to that signing an incorrect scorecard. Another issue I have is one of the time that it was done, and one could argue that the person that reported this was not a Lexi Thompson fan. Maybe they like the other person she was competing against, and therefore I think I'm going to wait a day, and they'll slap her with an extra two for signing a incorrect scorecard. And so it's just absolutely ludicrous to allow a viewer on TV to call into question anything that happened on a golf course where there are plenty of rules officials, and as Tim said, it's self-policing.
Mm-hmm. And it happened 35 other times throughout the week.
I'm sure it did on the players that weren't televised.
Yeah. I mean, how often we mark our ball, and granted, the greens they're playing are pretty pure and they're pretty good.
Right.
But there's a lot of times when we're playing, you mark your ball, and you can't get it to the same spot.
That is
rolls,
true.
It's tough to get.
That is true.
To get stationary. So, you move it a little bit. I mean, how much?
I know.
Are you really gaining by that? And it wasn't like she moved it. I also have played with guys that clearly cheat.
Yeah.
Mark the
they
ball.
They mark it six times, an inch ahead of where, and before you know it, they got a tap in. It's like, pick it up.
I've seen that move too, but this was not that, in my opinion.
Not
but
at all.
Should not have been four shot, two shot at the most, but even that was ridiculous.
Yeah.
Let me ask this question. Should intent be a factor?
I don't think you can legislate intent, Then you have to determine whether they meant to do it or not.
It's like an umpire in baseball. Did he intend to hit the batter on purpose or not? And that's a factor in the decision. That's why I bring it up.
No, I understand.
Yeah.
That's a different situation in terms of the health of a player, I think,
But it's like a face mask call. I mean, in football, I didn't mean to grab the guy's face mask. I was just trying to tackle him,
That's true. So, I don't know. I mean, I think they're addressing it, like Tim said, which is good. But unfortunately for her, a little bit too late.
Yeah.
Too little, too late. So.
Okay. Viewers have the power. They can vote on The Voice, and they can change golf tournaments.
Well, that's kind of what it's become.
It is. I wish during the 85 World Series I could have called in and said Don Dinkinger's dead wrong because the Royals wouldn't have won the World Series. Not that I'm bitter or anything. About my childhood. You remember the call I'm talking about?
No.
No, I'll show it to you during the break. Anyway.
Well, you have it on your
phone. He's younger than me, I think. How do you remember that? I was like 11 years old.
I was 14. Well, it was my team in Game 6 of the World Series in the ninth inning, ready to win, and a blown call kind of changed everything.
What replay against the Cardinals, correct?
It was against the Cardinals.
That's why it doesn't bother me, and I don't remember it.
See, I got to admit, I mean, he's a huge Reds fan, John is. I looked at the standings the other day, and the Reds all got off to this fast start, and then they dropped the last one. Well, at least the world's back to order now.
Oh, wait a minute. I believe on Wednesday they scored like 12 runs, though, which is a good week for them normally. So
they're playing good.
They're playing good,
they're
considering what they got to work with.
Yes.
Yeah.
Hopefully
so that means they're going to have to sell off a few more players because they're playing way too well. So let's see if we can get rid of them.
Good luck getting rid of Votto with that.
Well, he's got quite a contract.
Oh,
Yeah.
Ugh, killer.
I know.
All right. John Foster, Tim Firestone, Darren Pritchett, The Golf Show here on WSBT Radio. Last week, we took a tour of the Blackthorn Pro Shop. We're going to go to Notre Dame's Warren and find out what's new. That's next on WSBT. Welcome back to The Golf Show on WSBT Radio, along with John Foster, the general manager at Notre Dame's Warren, Tim Firestone, the owner of Blackthorn. Our program brought to you by those two great facilities. I'm Darren Pritchett. We're going to the Pro Shop at Notre Dame's Warren this week to find out what's new in the Pro Shop. So let's talk about the big stick first. What type of drivers, what do you have new in that area?
Before you get into this, yeah. I think the question should be, what's new in John's office? That would be a better segment.
Oh, my goodness.
Sorry.
No, I'm afraid we can't go there. There is a lot new in there.
1978 vintage.
Hopefully the thing that isn't new is the occupant.
So,
and every time I leave, that's my fear when I go back.
We have
breaking
news.
What are you doing sitting in my chair?
We have breaking news. We'll get to that in a second. Go ahead.
Okay. No, Titleist, this is the every other year for their woods. And I know that's a misnomer. I guess metals. And they changed up a couple years ago, and the hybrids used to come out with the three wood and the driver. And now they've had the hybrid come out when they launched the irons, which makes a lot of sense because that's an iron replacement. And so many people are going to hybrid in lieu of, say, a 3-4 and sometimes a 5-iron. So they have the 917 drivers out. They've made a bit of a change in terms of the weight distribution. You can now, there's an insertable weight that goes across the breadth of the club that you can weight one side or the other to give you, if more of a toe heavy or heel heavy. And then they have the loft adjustment as they did before, and also the face adjustment. So there's three ways to go with that, which some people like. I personally just keep it at standard. But so it's more that thing that's changed about him. I mean, in terms of the feel, I will say, though, I don't know if you've hit one yet, Tim.
I have not.
The Titleist trademark for years, at least, it felt really solid when you hit it. They had a bore-through shaft, which gave you a real solid feel, as opposed to, let's say, the Cobra, when it came out. You get that hollow feel. Even TaylorMade has a little bit of that feel. Well, Titleist went away from that, and their drivers, you kind of got that feel that it was hollow. Before, they've gone back, and this feels really solid. When you hit it, you'd swear, okay, that's a solid head I'm hitting. And some people like it, some people don't. I happen to like it, that they've gone back to it. So, we've got a full array of them. We've got, the cool thing about this adjustability of the club. We can, we'll take 8 shafts out there with you if you're trying out a driver. We also have a TrackMan. I say TrackMan because we have 2 TrackMans that we can put you on that will give you the spin rate, the launch angle, the launch speed, the ball speed. I mean, all swing speed that is really essential anymore if you're going to fit somebody into a driver. And that normally is dictated by the shaft as well as the loft of the club. So all those variables we can test out while you actually hit balls and find for you the perfect combination of launch, speed, spin, and angle of ascent that you can get, with drivers. So the fitting of drivers and irons has become almost standard anymore. Mm-hmm. I think you see it too, Tim, which is great. I mean, we have all the tools to do it. But it's rare that anybody comes in anymore and just orders a stock set of irons. As long as the service is available, why not take advantage of it? So from a hard goods standpoint, and then the Pro V1 has changed this year in the Pro V1X. They've kind of flipped it to where the X now is a higher flying ball and the Pro V is lower trajectory. And that's just the opposite of the way they used to promote it. I don't pretend to know the reasoning behind it. I sometimes think it's change for the sake of change because they like to change the ball configuration every couple years too. So either way, I've always been a big fan of Pro Vs, regardless of what you call it or what the attributes are. I've always played, just the Pro V. So the hard good side, we're all Titleist, but we can get other clubs. But as far as the demos, and we also have trial sets where you can come out, play a full set of new irons and Titleist woods, metals on us. So You know, we've got everything you need, if you're, especially if you're a Titleist fan. And on the flip side, as far as the apparel, we've got about a quarter of the shop now dedicated to the Senior Open apparel. We're, as you all know, I think, we're a huge Under Armour account because of the affiliation the university has with Under Armour. And I will say, I wasn't crazy about Under Armour golf apparel 3 years ago when we first started this relationship, just because I was a guy in my 50s who, I think most of their stuff was built for, you know, younger people. They've adapted, yeah. Yeah, exactly. It looks good on their guys.
I have my Under Armour shirt on. I thought you were talking about me looking very, very good right
now. Exactly. So, no, they've come a long way as far as golf apparel goes. And we also have a, you know, Cutter and Buck and Antigua are other, you know, lines of ours. But we've got a full house of inventory. You know, we found out a long time ago, if you don't have it on the floor, you can't sell it. So, please help us get some of this stuff off the floor.
So, final question on U.S. Mm-hmm. Open senior gear at this particular time. Just some example of the things, shirts, hats, balls,
we haven't gone into, you know, logoing the balls yet or tees as well. But we do have the hats, shirts, wind shirts, jackets from both PGA, which is an Ahead product, as well as Under Armour right now. But that's going to continue to expand as we get closer to the championship.
Use those demo clubs at Blackthorne and Warren. That's the best piece of advice. That's what's happening at Notre Dame's Warren's Pro Shop. We'll take a break. The Golf Show continues next on WSBT. The Golf Show presented by Blackthorne and Notre Dame's Warren on WSBT Radio. Darren Pritchett, John Foster, Tim Firestone with you. Last week, the PGA Tour hosted its first team event in 36 years. Cameron Smith and Jonas Blixt won the title in a four-hole playoff. Did you like it? Should they do more of this?
Loved it.
Yeah, I think the players loved it. I think it was exciting. It was different. It was new. And some of those tournaments get lost in a shuffle, you know? And I mean, good for them for
uniqueness.
Yeah, for trying to stand out.
I don't think you want to. I don't want to see more of it, though. I think, you know, one event a year is good. I really think they ought to rethink the venue. And I understand sponsors are located, you know, at Zurich Insurance, which is located in New Orleans. Right. But, man, weather is such a challenge down there every year.
I saw a tweet come out from the one of the sports writers about the things that always happen that week, and one of them is something like crawfish and shrimp in the media tent and mandatory evacuations of the media center.
It's so true. It is just so frustrating. Just, and from a broadcaster standpoint, I'm sure it drives CBS crazy.
And that's the shame of the tournament in Memphis too. A lot of times. It's a great tournament, St. Jude, and they just run into weather trouble, it seems like, every single year. Speaking of uniqueness, we only have a few seconds. You know a tournament I miss? It was one time a year, the Stableford scoring system. Yeah. It was different. Castle it was Pines. Fun. The guys could go for it and not worry about huge penalties.
And talk about lightning.
Well, true.
Yeah, they had their weather issues, too. I mean, that was absolutely horrible. But no, I like that as well.
Plus, you were above sea level. The ball flew farther. Yep. It was kind of like a home run derby.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was.
But it's gone. I don't know what happened to it. Did they lose sponsorship?
Sponsorship, It's all about the dollars. Don't go play anywhere if someone was writing a check.
Yeah, that's a good point.
That's a valid point. Just like you guys.
Yeah.
Kind of.
Yeah. You're saying we'll go anywhere and play? Or our golf courses are writing checks to get people to come and play?
I was saying if someone said, hey, come play my course and here's $100, you will go play.
It wouldn't take $100 for me.
Jeez.
That would double my career earnings.
Boy, we can tell we're trying to grow golf here. Here, I'll give you $100 to come play. No, thanks.
It's too much.
All right. Oh, it's too much.
Yeah.
What's coming up at these two courses? That's next on WSBT. Tim, what's coming up at Blackthorne?
Hopefully the rain goes away and we're open for business. Just regular play right now. We're getting into, of course, in really good shape. We aerated 2 weeks ago. Greens bounced back tremendously. And black card's still available for sale. And come on out and play.
Phone number?
232-GOLF.
John at Notre Dame's Warren.
Yeah. Well, it was an anomaly, but we didn't get any rain this week. Everybody else in the area got 2 to 3 inches, but we're bone dry. The ball runs a long way, so come on out and play. And the phone number, Darren, is 631-GOLF.
That's the Golf Show on WSBT South Bend.